I'm Carrie Doan, and welcome to Clearly Connected. You're listening to episode 35. I'm a life coach, business consultant, speaker, and a big-hearted entrepreneur. I live in the colorful city of Cincinnati, Ohio with my family, and through my work, I've helped hundreds of conscious people overcome their fear and anxiety so that they can find their way to a connected, more confident way of life in work, finance, and relationships. You're enjoying this podcast ad-free because of the generous support of subscribers to Clearly Connected on Spotify. You can learn more at carriedoan.com, where we'll continue the conversation we start here for anyone who wants to move beyond the beliefs that keep them stuck. If you struggle with feelings of insecurity, or you just need a few minutes away from the constant stream of information, well, you're in the right place for finding that safe space of connection. Today's question, what does it mean to live a sovereign life, and how do we step into it to become the master of our lives by taking full ownership of our decisions? Listen in. Welcome, welcome, you beautiful people. I am thrilled about this conversation today because third time guest, I believe, and I are going to be talking about women sovereignty. And this is somewhat of a new word for me, but to me, it's this idea of how we can transition our perspectives on ourselves, especially as women, toward one where we feel more in control of our lives. It's one where we are ruling ourselves from this freely autonomous place that will leave us empowered, while also not taking dominance over anyone else's life. So I am excited to dive in with my amazing guest, the beautiful queen and badass coach, Amanda Kogan, to talk about this. And we have had many conversations before, so this one will just kind of be another add-on to what we've previously discussed in terms of living like a queen and living an easy life. And Amanda is such a wealth of wisdom as she has engaged her work with this perspective, doing things like running her own wellness festival called Shake and Shine, doing some energy coaching, and also as a musician, producing content and lyrics that I think express these truths. So Amanda, I am so glad to have you back.
Thank you so much for that intro, Carrie. I've always loved being on this podcast with you.
Oh my gosh. Well, I feel like every conversation we have is its own amazing podcast. So I'm glad that we're finally back to actually recording this to share this content, because I love this idea of women's sovereignty and this idea of just kind of getting back in a position of feeling that confidence, control, not being lorded over by other people. So you're the perfect person to have this, because you embody this so much in your life as I witness it. So I'd love to ask you, first of all, like, how do you define that word sovereignty in your own words?
Yeah, so sovereignty, I guess it's also a newer word for me to be using in this way, but when you look it up, I mean, it's self-governing, self-ruling. I mean, we think about mostly sovereign nations is when I think you hear this word the most. America, we took our sovereignty from Great Britain way back in the day, became our own sovereign nation. So I think of it as no one ruling over you, no one telling you how to live your life, you having complete control in what you say yes and no to, and how you show up to things, and whether or not you decide to show up to things, and yourself and people and relationships and work, right? So I see it as really this coming into your full power, and not in this mean way or vicious way, but this very like self-contained, self-ruling, like, every day is my day that I choose to do with what I want, is how I see it.
I love that. I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind as you're saying those words
is something around the idea of this sort of position that I'll speak for myself as a woman, although I know other people experience this too, especially minority groups, but feeling like I need to ask permission of somebody else in order to make certain decisions. And this isn't to say that you just steamroll over people, but I know for me, I have had to go through a lot of work on not posturing myself in that way as a default, right? So not handing my power over to other people by asking them, well, what do you think I should do? Or how can I do this? Do you think I can do this? Is this okay? And that's, again, not to say you don't ever ask for feedback, but at the end of the day, coming back to what I want and believe is true and trusting myself to make those decisions. And so I don't know, maybe I'd like to take this into a place of, you know, as we're talking about sort of the feminine aspect of this, why do you think that, what are the contributors to the ways that we have been positioning ourselves to be more seeking permission or not governing our lives with full ownership?
Like how have we gotten to this point where we're giving away our power so much, basically?
Yeah. Or maybe even too, if you want to share like your story of that transition at some point of like evolving into this place. Yeah. First, maybe let's talk about why we started that way. And then we can get into the how to like leave that disempowered position.
Yeah. Well, for the why, I think just the very basic of, if you don't get along to go along, you get kicked out of the tribe. So we've, from very back in the day, right? If you don't follow the rules, if you don't contribute to the society, to your community, then you're out. And so I think there is a little bit of that we've carried over. And then as women, especially, this is for men too, but women, I think from a very young age, are taught to please others and that other people is a priority over their own needs. So we get the, oh my gosh, it's so cute when you do this for me, or I love it when you take care of this need for me, or right, we get like very positive encouragement and feedback from when we are doing things that make other people feel good. And are doing something for them. And we rarely are asked, well, what would you like in this moment? How can we support you, especially as children?
Yes.
And then I believe as we grow, I mean, as we go to school, you know, we're trained to sit in chairs for 8 hours a day and listen to one person. And if you act up in a room of 30 children, there are harsh disciplines for that. And it's not, I have a lot to say about the education system, but I do want to acknowledge that I believe teachers are doing the best they can with what they're working with. So I'll just put that caveat out there. I believe that, so schools train it into you, and then you go to the doctor, right? And if you have anything wrong with you, the doctor is the one who knows what to do. And they will tell you what the medicine is. Okay, if your stomach hurts, if anything, right? Like we ask other people how to fix ourselves. Religion is, here are the rules. These are the things to abide by. So honestly, in every area of our life, we are conditioned and trained to follow the rules, stay in line, go along to get along, to move up the ladder, to get the right friends, to get the right positioning, to blah, blah, blah. So I think it's a natural way that our system has been working, because we have a very industrial mindset in this country, especially. So stay within the rules and like be a good citizen, you know? So we have all these terminologies around being good and doing what other people want you to as well. Like, what does a lady do? You know, she acts a certain way in front of people and never says the wrong thing. And so all of that is just programmed into us pretty much from the moment we're born. And for my own life, like I'm the youngest, I have two older sisters, one that I lived with consistently, and she was a big personality. and very intelligent. And I grew up being in her shadow a lot and was called the follower and wasn't as smart as she was and wasn't all these things. And that just was like, it's like when you grow up with Velcro on, basically, right? And everything people say to you is just sticking to you. And so I grew up especially with this, like, being the shy girl who was quiet and like didn't act up and misbehave was a part of my identity. People liked me because of that, you know, not because I was smart or cute or intelligent or, but because I acted right and was easy to be with. Well, as a child, like, especially this child, this girl who's a people pleaser at heart and loves people and wants to make them happy and feel good. Well, that's something that you bring with you into everything else. And I find myself in relationships saying, well, where do you want to go? What do you want to eat? Like, what movie do you want to see? And like, I don't care, because going along to get along is part of my identity.
Yeah.
And so it really, like, for my personal story of retraining my brain, I think started with getting to know myself, truly. Mm-hmm. And having to know myself apart from what other people told me I was.
Yes.
And that's really uncomfortable when you're walking around with a bunch of Velcro of sayings that people have told you you are. And so, like, to peel them away one by one, little by little, and just say, well, what is the opposite of that that's still empowering, you know? So I'm not a people pleaser anymore, but I'm still a bright light and energetic support to people when I'm with them. But when I show up in my authenticity, go ahead.
I love everything that you're saying. I can connect so much to it. Especially as you're talking about, you know, the ways that we are, that's a way that you got your needs met as a child, right? Mm-hmm. By being this persona where you're pleasing people, you're getting rewarded for that, you're getting attention maybe, or just like, that's how you got by. But in that process, you lose yourself, you lose your autonomy. And that thing that you just said about, you know, you really have to come to a point to let go or at least question those beliefs and the way that you see yourself. And then as you shed that, it creates us kind of a void, you know, like a lot of women I hear, and I went through this myself, that question of what do you want is terrifying. And it's so countercultural. It almost is taboo to even say that, right? Because we're taught to please and prioritize others. So, I mean, even yesterday I met with a client and she's like, who am I if I'm not defined by the needs of other people? And I said, I know, it's terrifying, right? But that is the place where the most amazing change toward what you described as authenticity happens, because then you have to let go of those other voices in order to tune into your own. And when you get in touch with that and you start to claim what it is that you actually want, guess what? You start getting it. You know, it sounds so simple, but it's just like the way that we are, I don't want to, maybe wired or trained or conditioned, is so counter to that, that it takes enormous effort and courage to even go there, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm with you 100%. Now, I've heard you tell me before in conversation, like, you want to see more women own this, this self-governance, this really like asserting what you want in life. And again, not in this, let me push people around kind of way, not in a bossy way, but in a, like, I can take up space and I can go after what I want. And that's not selfish. It's confidence, right? Like, how can women, in your opinion, get there? Like, what do you think are just maybe a couple practical steps or questions that they can ask to reach that place?
Yeah. I think you nailed it with the first question of what do I want? What do I want apart from my family, my job, my religion, my parents, whatever, right? Like, what do I want? What do I desire? What lights me up? Instead of how can I make someone else's life easier? How can I make my life more empowered? And how can I show up authentically to people in a way that doesn't take from me? This is a question I ask myself all the time. Does it cost me more to do this thing for that person than it will cost them if I don't do it? And that may sound like a strange thing to ask yourself, but for someone who, for me, like I have bent over backwards to help someone when in reality, it was more effort for me to do that than it would have been for them to handle it a different way. Mm. And I can't think of a specific example in this moment other than, oh, I can. As a musician, I booked a lot of music and things, and musicians will ask me if I can find someone else to replace them, or if there's any venues or things like that, which is my intellectual property and things that I've created. And also, like, I have a running list of musicians in my head. Now, I used to be like, let me reach out for you and I'll hit up 5 musicians to find you and blah, blah, blah. And now I'm taking up a lot of my precious energy for something that I'm literally getting no benefit from other than being a nice person.
Yep.
So things like that. That's a very tangible example for me of like, no, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And that's my new response. And I'm taking back your, like, our shame and guilt, I think, is really what gets us. So anything that brings up those feelings, really check in. Because those are not true. And honestly, when we're living into our authenticity and living into our power, those feelings and emotions will not come up. At least in my opinion, at least in my experience, I should say.
Yeah. I fully agree with you. I just released a podcast today about shame. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand with what we're saying on the ways that our society kind of puts us in these boxes. One of the ways that they are a motivator, I think, that is a result of these systems of thought is shame, right? And that's a great way to kind of to control or to dictate certain people's behaviors. And it's so unfortunate because you lose your sense of self in the process and you live a miserable life. And so I think at the core, examining that, right? And like, this is where rewriting the script, especially for women, I think is so important, because when you ask that question, what do I want? You're effectively saying, like, I deserve more, right? Which, again, to some people might sound entitled, but if you're coming from a shame-based place, it's a place of empowerment, right? And so that can change everything in terms of how you feel about your life and how you operate. So, I mean, I love what you were talking about, how, like, there's almost this default that I could really relate to in what you're saying, these examples of defaulting to other people or like overextending yourself on behalf of someone else. Because I think to myself, like, that is my natural default, is to always be thinking about how does the other person feel? What do they need? And it's like, takes a lot of effort for me to actually stop and check in with myself and say, wait a minute, what do I need right now? What do I want? And I know I'm not the only person that thinks like this, but when we flip the script and start thinking in a different way, not only do you feel better, but I also believe, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, that everyone else benefits from your ability to self-govern.
150,000%. I always say the best way you can help me is by helping yourself. Truthfully, my friends and my family, like, the best way you can support me is by making sure I don't have to support you. That's what I'm saying, right? Like, be your own. It sounds like I'm saying don't ask for support, and that's not what I'm saying, but you have those friends who it's literally a crisis every other day and they're calling for your support. And I truly believe, like, being able to be a sovereign and self-govern and tap into your resources and your resiliency, like that is such a gift you give people, and you will attract other people like that to you. And then when you support each other, when you really need it, like that's magic shit. So, but before I jump into that more, I have to go back to like what you were just saying. And I feel like, honestly, we lead our lives based on the barometer of niceness. So like, yeah. That's the measure of good in our society, is how nice are you? And I can't tell you how much I hate this word. And then people try to say, well, replace it with kind. Kind is different than nice. Listen, we are so wrapped up in nice and compassionate and loving. Okay. Put a self in front of any of those fucking words. I'm sorry. And any of those words, like, and being nice to yourself first. Think about that. Be compassionate to yourself first. These are the things that like we will die on the martyrdom of compassion and niceness instead of taking care of ourselves. And it's like, I don't know if people are like, I want to be like Mother Teresa or what, but like, but listen, being nice is just going to get you, like, it's never going to get you where you want to go. And it's not going to gain you any respect. People who think you're nice will come to you for the, like, for the basest of things, because you just are bending over backward at beck and call, and like, oh my God, that girl, she's so nice. Well, on your deathbed, are you going to want to be nice? Or you want to be like, I lived the best life possible.
Yeah.
And I lived for myself. And I showed up each day living my life to the baddest, to the fullest, not watching everyone else live theirs, supporting them live their lives. Like, we are so good at playing the supporting role when we are the leading actresses of our lives.
Like,
and taking that back and not feeling bad about it. Because honestly, the women I respect the most in my life, the men and women I respect the most in my life are boundaried up like no one else. And if you want to get to them, they're very clear about the time they have to spend, the energy, and like, and when you're with them, it's solid, meaty conversation, you know? So,
I'm with you. I think that word boundaries is so key to this too, right? Like, we can't just be saying yes to everybody, because there are costs to ourself, right? In this hill of self-sacrifice that we've been taught to die on is a hill that really, quite frankly, doesn't have boundaries. And there's a martyrdom complex around it. So, you know, as you're talking about this, I'm like kind of thinking about this progression that I have spent a lot of time contemplating and learning about as it relates to codependence, independence, and interdependence, right? So like, we're born into this world very dependent beings, and the goal is to ultimately move out of that phase and live a more independent life. And in order to do that, we have to have autonomy, we have to have agency, we have to have boundaries. And then, but that means that we have to really prioritize our needs, I think, ever to be able to get there, right? It's learning to not rely so heavily on other people, although we can reach out for support, but we take some of that energy and we start to rely a little more on ourselves. And so we build into this sense of independence. And when you start saying yes to yourself and expanding what you're truly capable of, from that place, you have the ability to more generously give to others and learn to rely, give and receive from others in this interdependent way that is sustainable, that is healthy, that, you know, sure, there's like maybe some kindness, but there's also some honesty and truth spoken in those relationships. So I just kind of wonder, you know, as we're talking, if from a psychological level, if we're just kind of taught these more codependent ways of living, and then we, especially as women, we have to branch out of that and and find ourselves again, apart from these people that we've been taught to either rely on us fully or us rely on them perhaps, and put our stake in the ground so that we can grow. I mean, ultimately, I think it's about learning to grow as a full, integrated, authentic human being. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that, yeah, that's kind of what sparked that in me. But I love what you're saying. It's like the pendulum needs to swing the other way for a minute, right? Especially for women. And just not even like be this dominating person, although maybe that happens a little bit, but to just be more outspoken, be truthful, be assertive. And in that, be like tuning into you. So, okay, so let me just pause there for a second, because you had said something to me earlier about, you know, you seeing unattachment, self-compassion, and creativity as like three pillars of becoming a sovereign human being. Can you unpack that a little more and how that is all related?
Yeah. So I think when I didn't put boundaries in that, because I think sometimes when we hear that, a lot of times we don't know what that means. And for some people, when they think boundary, they think, well, I'm keeping people out. And so I love self-compassion, and I'm sure this is a word that's out there. I've been using it more recently myself, because this is something I hear all the time as well, but I'm such a compassionate being and I have to be with people and I want to be with them. Right. So self-compassion to me is, okay, that same energy I'm putting out on everyone else, I'm going to put on myself first. And in that moment, when I ask myself, what do you need? How can I support you in this moment? What would fill my own cup, essentially? And from that place, do I say yes to this function? Do I say no or yes to this like meeting with people or whatever, right? Like, so instead of it being like, oh my God, these are my hard and fast boundaries, well, how about what do I need in myself? And give myself that compassion that I'm so quick to give everyone else. And mm-hmm. I think in that moment, you'll find like, oh, when I have my own back, when I support myself, because truly we are our own soulmates. I've said this before, I will say it again. You are the only one you take with you from the moment you were born to the moment you die. And so if you don't have your own back and you are expecting other people to support you in that way, it's silly. I don't know. It's so silly. And I have done this my whole life, you know, like, well, if I got your back, then you better have mine, because I don't have my own back.
Right.
I don't have any time to do that. But that's why I put self-compassion in there. And then from that place, the unattachment piece is, okay, so now when I say no from this place of, this is what I need in this moment, then you can say no with that other person. And whatever their reaction is, you are not attached to it. It means nothing about you. We are meaning-making machines. So we love to say, well, if I say no, then they're going to think I'm this or that or a terrible person or whatever we think, right? Or they'll never hire me, or they'll never invite me back. And we go through this litany of excuses of why we're going to say yes to something that we don't want to say yes to. And I have to tell you, in my own life, every time I have honored myself and been in integrity to myself and said no to something, it has worked out for everyone involved. Every time. Not like on a whim, like don't be flaky. That's not what I'm saying. This is a very different, this is intentionally like, I am overwhelmed right now. And there's a reason, because I've given my sovereignty away. So how do I get it back in this moment? And then creativity is honestly, that's part of this win-win-win solution. So sometimes you need to say no, and you also have a commitment that needs to be filled. So this is the part where your creativity, like, we are born creative beings. We are creators, not just women, men too. Like, we are creators. And so to limit ourselves and to think, well, this is, if I don't do it this way, then there is no other possibility. There are 100 possibilities. Everything is possible, I believe. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we have to go into our mind and think, okay, what might stretch me a little bit, but will get me the result that I want and this person wants at the same time. So sometimes that's calling a friend you haven't talked to in 15 years and saying, hey, what do you think about this? Or maybe it's calling someone, an ex, and being like, you're the only person I can think of who can fit, whatever it is, right? These are like, I don't want to give two specific examples because we all have them, but that come up for us. But being creative in your solutions to things instead of saying, well, if I can't do it, no one can, or if I don't do it, then it'll never get done, or whatever we say to ourselves around saying yes when we really don't want to.
Yes, I love that. I love especially how you're framing this up. Like the unattachment thing really stuck out to me too, because there is this fear I think a lot of people have of disappointing other people when maybe saying yes to ourselves or maybe saying no to an opportunity. And I think, you know, on another level, it's really important to recognize, like, those are their feelings, right? They're in charge of them. I'm not responsible for them. And I can deliver the news in a way that maybe isn't like harsh, but that's not our responsibility. And so we can allow that and still like remain unattached from the emotional experience of others. And that I think is another way that we take ownership of our lives, right? Like letting go of the things that we think we're responsible for truly, and just claiming total responsibility of ourselves. And that includes our thoughts, our feelings that we work with. It includes our actions, our decisions, like all of that. But when you take it off of other people, of pleasing other people, and you assume that position for yourself, it really changes so much of how you feel, like more in control, more just like flow with life. You know, I got my back. So,
And I just want to add on to that, less resentful.
Yeah.
Like, I am so tired of women walking around so resentful of their partners, of their jobs, of their kids, of whatever, because like I wrote a blog one time, Trade Bitterness for Boundaries. And this is the same idea. Like, we hold on to resentment and bitterness when we are the ones putting ourselves in that position. So when you take your power back, you tap into gratitude, energy, and people want to be around you. Your family will receive you differently. It really does open you up into this whole different kind of dynamic of how people show up to you. And I know you and I both, Carrie, have found this, like when you show up differently, people show up differently to you. Like it's so amazing, you know, when I show up with clarity of like what I want, what I desire, the support I need, and people show up to that. Like, it feels really amazing and empowering. And it's like, oh, evidence towards this is a whole other way of being, where I'm still giving to people, but now it's from a place of love and authenticity and because I want to and not because I have to. And like, I don't know if you've hung out with friends who are hanging out with you because they feel like they have to, but like, no one wants that. It's not fun for anyone involved. Like when you show up to a function with your spouse and you're like, oh, I cannot stand being here. Like, no one else wants you there either. I'll be honest. Like, just don't go to those things and like, let the chips fall where they may, truthfully. Like, and see what happens, because the other option is you're just holding all the chips inside you and creating this mini bomb that will go off at some point. So it's like,
so true.
This is the thing we do to ourselves.
It's so true. I know. What would it look like to live free of obligations? I mean, like, that word I hear come up all the time. And another way to say that would be like the word should. Mm-hmm. Anytime I should do something, there's an obligatory sense about it. And I think, yeah, we can like reframe that a little bit to say, I choose this, or I don't have to do it. I want to do it, but also to really examine, what are the things I'm saying yes to that I actually don't want to do, and being truthful about that. Right. And that's not to say you never do something for somebody else. It's not black and white, But at the end of the day, like how, what percentage of your decisions are made from what you genuinely want to pursue or what someone else is asking you to do? So I think like that simple switch or really thinking about that can really, again, like change how you feel about yourself. And one other thing I wanted to say too, along this line of, you know, asking or saying what you really want. This has been something that I've really shifted more recently in my life, where I had this awareness of not wanting to be needy, right? And I think a lot of women feel this way. It's like, I'm not allowed to have needs in a way. And so to put those out there is very vulnerable and probably selfish, right? I think this is all subconsciously we think this. And so I started questioning that, like, wow, could I actually be more direct and clear about what I want? And specifically this in just relationships and friendships with people. And that required me to, first of all, get clear on what I wanted and then to speak it out. And it is absolutely amazing to me. And I know you probably have a similar story where when you take that risk and you put yourself out there, detaching from the outcome, it's amazing what you start receiving, right? And how the people that show up and they actually want to give something, but they don't know because you haven't said it, because maybe you thought you didn't deserve it or whatever. But like when you take that courageous step and you make it known, you tell the truth of either how you feel or what you want, it gives an opportunity for that need to go to get met. And I, in a way, it's like, this sounds so simple, right? But when you take all these years and years of history that have said you're not allowed to have needs or deny them, it's hard. It can be really hard to put it into practice when you've never done that before. But again, like what you receive on the other side is not just support, but it's like this, oh, I put this into motion. I governed myself in a way where I invited that person into this opportunity, or I spoke it out and then this outcome came true. So it's been really profound for me to have that experience and be like, wow, how are so many things like going so well? And I think it's because of that, you know, just saying out loud. So I don't know if you can relate to that at all. I'm sure you can.
Absolutely. Honestly, I was just telling this to my partner recently, like people need to be told what to do and they want to be, honestly. Like, I think to do the right thing, to help you, to support you, like most people want to help. And most people don't have a freaking clue how to do that. So I think it's a gift that we give people, especially our partners, when we tell them what we want and desire. Like that's been great feedback from my partner recently, because this is all still fairly new in my world of being as honest and open as I have been in the last months. So even that for me is fairly new, where I am just like, something's coming up to me and I'm speaking it when it hits me, or when I'm like, nope, I want this right now. I'm saying it. And like, he's very attracted to that. I gotta say, and he's not alone. Like I hear this from other partners, from, you know, honestly, when you go in and order food, I've had people like, oh, I like a woman who knows what she wants. You know what I mean? Like there is something actually so great about knowing yourself. And, and when you know yourself and allow yourself to be seen, other people actually get to know you too. Mm. And this is the beautiful part of it. You actually get to attract people into your life that aren't going to keep taking from you and who will be life-giving because you are showing up that way. And you're not showing up as a needy person who doesn't know what they want, who just bends over backwards for everyone every time. Like, it's very hard for me to be with people like that now. Mm-hmm. Because often those people are the flakiest also, because you have put so many things on your plate that you can't keep up with all of them. So you are letting things slide. Mm-hmm. So So here we are putting all of these things on our lives and on our plate, saying like, we're the best, we're trying to be superwoman. And then they're falling off left and right. And like, and then no one respects you and honors you because you're not honoring yourself. So yeah. It's really like, it is, it sounds simple. It's not, it is very complex because there are going to be people out there who push back. And there is going to be certain mates of yours. This is why I love, love, love divorced women. Like what it takes to leave a marriage as a woman, especially, is so courageous and bold. You change on a, like a basic cellular level to do that. And like, I have so much, I love, love divorced women for this reason. And because the women who are staying and not happy, like no one wants that for you. Your kids don't want it. Your partner doesn't want it. Like, this is a side note, but this is one of those big moments for me where I see women staying and not taking back their sovereignty because they're scared of what it looks like on the other side. And me and Carrie both know it looks like this. It looks like being a queen in your life and having people show up to you and like, mm-hmm. And living a life you actually enjoy and love and choose every day. Like, yeah. That is the beauty. And honestly, to our listeners, like you only get 70 to 80 years. 20 of them pretty much are spent in childhood learning how to be a human. And then the rest of it is learning how to be a happy one. So like this, we're in our 30s and 40s and like, there's not a lot of time left. So like, do you want to keep living the way that you want? Everyone else thinks you're nice. And you'll keep bending over backwards and never doing what you want? Or do you want to just say enough is enough and like let the chips fall where they may, but from now on, I am choosing myself first.
Mm. Wow. Well said, like a queen of royalty. Oh, I just love it. You're so right. Like, you know, Amanda and I, we always call each other queen or goddess, and it's this way of lifting each other up and acknowledging this aspect of ourselves that we're, I think, expanding into more and more all the time, or exploring what does it look like to be, to see ourselves as people of royalty, right? Not in an egotistical way, but in this like genuinely self-respecting way. And so, I don't know, this is, you're right. Like, this is the reward of choosing yourself, is to feel like you're finally living that life that you always dreamed of, and that you are the one running the ship. Nobody else is dictating it for you, right? And so, I don't know, it's the, the juicy stuff of life. Oh my gosh, wow. Well, I could go on and on about this, but let's tie it up with a question that came up for me. I want to ask you, which is, if there's somebody listening and they're thinking, ugh, I want that, you know, what, maybe you can share from your life or like in general, practical ways that they can say yes to becoming more sovereign. Maybe it's a practice that you have. I know we talked about boundaries. But how would you answer that on a practical level?
So I think starting with, honestly, like, I love this quote, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no, right? And I do love that, but also it can feel a little complicated sometimes. So that, having that in your brain, like if it's not a hell yes to something, it's a no, really is something just to like check yourself, check in. Like, mm-hmm. So, cause I'm a highly intuitive person. So often if my body is reacting like in a constrictive way or sort of a like tightening, probably means I don't want to do it. So that's sort of practical, sort of, you know, woo woo. But, and then looking at your schedule, because really where this came from, this whole conversation has come around from women feeling like their schedule is taking over their lives as opposed to them being able to run their schedule and feeling bad about saying no to things and to people. And so look at your schedule and take off at least two things off of your week that aren't top priorities that can be moved back. that aren't a very strong, like, ooh, this gives me energy in my body, that aren't going to make or break the bank or anything for you. But like, just pick two things that you can give yourself some space. And in those spaces, put self-care. Mm. Or self-compassion, truthfully, because self-care, we overuse it, but self-compassion, like, how can I be with myself in a compassionate way today, or in this hour, or in this 30 minutes, or whatever it was that I was going to give to someone else? Like, I'm taking that back for me.
Yes.
And start there, honestly. And then in those moments, like, ask yourself, what do I desire? What are my dreams? Mm. What do I want to be in 5 years? Where do I want to be? How do I want to be? Like, and ask yourself those sometimes hard questions, because everything comes in like, well, what, well, then this person might not be here, or I just play, play in the realm of like possibilities without anyone voices in your head, anyone else's voices in your head, and have fun with it for a little while. Like, allow yourself to go into that place where maybe you haven't imagined like that for a while. And then gratitude, like, gosh, giving yourself gratitude. I cannot stress enough. I end every journal entry with affirmations to myself. Because that's life giving to me, to remind myself that I am a queen, that I am sovereign, that I am beautiful, strong, capable, resilient, confident, creative, supported, strong, you know, like, these are things that we are, and we don't need anyone else to keep telling them to us. Because the more you need validation from someone else, the less you are validating yourself. So that is your right, your sacred right to give yourself some basic love. And like, because whether you like it or not, you are stuck with you. So to hate on yourself forever, like, that is so exhausting. Enough of that. You know, enough. You're spending too much time and energy on that. So come back to a place of love. So those are my top practical tips.
Oh, I love that. I mean, those are pretty much all the things that I was thinking in my mind as I was reflecting on, like, yeah, how did I make this journey? I think top two things that impacted me were meditation. I know not everybody's a meditator. However, what that can do is put you in touch with you, right? That's a time when you're sitting with yourself and your thoughts, and you're getting to know what you feel or what you want a little more. So that's a super helpful tool, I think, in facilitating the clarity on that. But then, yeah, like mapping out, like playing with that question, what do I want? So powerful. And that self-validation, my God, I do the same thing. It's like, write in your journal or look yourself in the mirror and you validate yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, then it's like your power is coming right back.
So. Yeah. Yes.
Oh my God, queen. Well, Amanda, thank you. You know, as we were talking, I thought, no, this isn't the third episode. This is, I think, the fourth that we've done in the span of Clearly Connected. So I absolutely love having your voice, your wisdom, your thoughts, all of that shared on this platform. You have so much to help us to think more critically and get in touch with who we are. So I'm just so grateful that you're willing to continue preaching in the best way.
Yeah, I know. I get passionate. Sorry, y'all, but it's part of my superpower that I'm tapping into.
Yeah, I love it. I say, bring it on from your throne up there.
Thank you so much for having me, Carrie, as always. I adore you. And I'm so, like, I just love this podcast and what you're doing and what you're bringing to awareness for people. So thank you so much.
Well, absolutely. My pleasure. And I'm sure it'll only be a matter of time before we're back at it on something new and exciting. So when that day comes, I will be knocking on your door for some more insight. So yeah. So anyways, in the meantime, everyone, I'm going to put Amanda's information. If you want to check out her coaching practice, her wellness festival, her music, all that's going to be put in the show notes if you want to learn more about her. And I'm just thank you for tuning in today. So in the meantime, until the next episode, I encourage you to think about what it would mean to take a sovereign stance in your life so that you can live more freely, more empowered, and as a more autonomous being.
If this episode resonated with you, I have something that you may love. Part of what helps me live a life free of stress and anxiety is embracing genuine connection with myself and others. Building a coaching business centered on this principle has sparked many of my clients to their own success. So if you're looking for a way to overcome your fears and insecurities while building confidence, I invite you to check out my 12-week program, Connect to Your Core, where I help you discover your authentic self so that you can live a life of passion and purpose. I'll link it in the show notes, so check it out if you're interested. And I'm so glad you joined us. So remember to stay connected.